And we're very happy to have Dave Roser joining us. And Dave is a he's a retired controller from with Hewlett Packard. He got a little bored with his retirement. He, along with his wife, DJ, have started Garden Tech Farms. They converted a Maplewood warehouse into a sustainable farm, which combines raising a fish like tilapia and rainbow trout with basil, lettuce, and sprouts. No soil, no weeding, no pesticides. Sounds pretty amazing to me, Dave. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Well, just about everybody I know is heading up north this weekend, so it'll be crowded your way and be kind of a ghost town around here. But yeah, we're always about 80 degrees and sunny inside our building here. So.
Oh, yeah, it's just an amazing concept to me. And when I read it in the Minneapolis paper, I thought, wow, growing lettuce out of a styrene board is just, it's a little different concept for me. No
yeah,
soil.
It's very different than traditional farming, and especially in the northern climates, you know, we can farm all year round indoors. So, and it's a lot denser packed because we don't have to, you know, leave furrows for tractor wheels and things like that, and to walk in weeding and things. So it's very very dense growth. We basically are about 100 times more space efficient than a traditional farm would be with getting two harvests a year.
Now, where did that idea come from for you? Here you were retired, apparently a little bored because you went into this, you know, both feet jumping right into the water.
Yeah, I had worked for HP for about 16 years and left them to start my own companies, and I did, and I sold those off a few years back. And yeah, I did get kind of bored when you're 49. There's nobody to play with. So I needed to do something else, and you know, it was all of a sudden it's one of those things, opportunity presents itself. I owned a building that one of my businesses had been in, and it was vacant, and trying to fill a building in this economy, my thoughts were, well, I might as well start another business. And so I started looking for something that would be kind of recession proof, being figured that food was, everybody had to eat in a recession, and also that looking for something that was, you know, with the trends that are here to stay, the fresh, natural, local, you know, all of those, you know, healthy type of trends. So we did a lot of research and kept on coming back to aquaponics.
Now,
aquaponics.
Go ahead.
Oh, aquaponics for your listeners is it's like hydroponics. People have heard of those. They've been to Disney World and seen hydroponics plants growing out of water. And it's very similar to that. The only difference is that instead of using bags of fertilizer, what we have is we have tanks of fish here, and we have about 20,000 tilapia and about 10,000 rainbow trout. And we feed them, and they provide the fertilizer for the plants. And then it's a real partnership. The plants then clean up the water, and we send it right back to the fish. So it's a closed loop system right here in a building.
So what comes first there, chicken or the eggs in this deal?
The plants came first. We had to find our you know, how to grow them indoors in a warehouse and with artificial light, and how to do that financially effectively or sustainably. And that was the trick, how to use the lighting, how close to get things, and how densely we could do things to make the square footage and the energy calculations all work. And once we worked through, that took us a whole year and a half, and once we got through all of that, it was about a year, I guess, and then we started adding the fish.
Now, how did you decide, you raised basil and lettuce, I think you've added sprouts to it, but how did you decide on those as your vegetation?
Well, one of the distributors in here in town told me that iceberg lettuce, where they shred it up and sell it in a bag, they get about 13 cents a pound for it. And so I went, you know, I don't think that's going to work. So we steered towards products that are, they, you know, fresh. accounts. There's something that's a little more of a premium price for it. For instance, basil, once you cut it, it's got a very short shelf life. It's a few days, and it starts going downhill very quickly. So a lot of things like basil and such are flown into this country or flown in from California. And in our climate, it's flown in most of the year, and then until the summer when some of the other, farmers can supply enough.
Can you describe to folks, excuse me, go ahead, Dave.
Well, if you get, so it was really focusing on things that were a little more premium price, and that helps us defer the cost of the electricity that we have. But then on the other hand, we don't have to fly the goods in or truck them in from California.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe to folks just what this all looks like? I'm reading about styrene boards and round tubs, and it's just kind of hard to visualize all this.
Yeah, it really is. And when people walk in here, we do give tours, and they say, this looks like it should be on the space shuttle. And it is kind of wild looking in some regards. And, I'm going to say most of my training's been in accounting. So I'm going to say that the first environmentalists here were actually accountants. Because if you ever talk to an accountant, you never want to waste anything. You always want to use stuff. You want to turn off those lights, that sort of thing. So I always think accountants is the first environmentalist. So that's really what we're doing. We have an ecosystem in a building, and there's different plants have different requirements. So, for instance, if you think of a head of lettuce, it grows like a ball. It's it's round. It doesn't get very tall. And because of that, it really doesn't care about gravity that much. And so growing heads of lettuce vertically is not really an issue for lettuce. They do just fine. On the other hand, basil and other stem products, they do care about gravity. So what happens is, if you've ever had a pet has knocked a pot over, a potted plant over, and you notice that you go to pick it up later and it's already turned and it's growing upward. In a few minutes, in about 15 minutes, a plant figures out that it's not up anymore, and it tries to grow up thinking that the light is up that way. So what we do is with the orbiting garden, it is, and you can see pictures of this on our website, which is www.gardenfreshfarms.com. And you can see the cylinders. They're 8 feet long, about 4 feet wide. We stack them two high and two abreast. So and then there are five in a row. So there's 20 of these cylinders all turning very, very slowly. They take about 45 minutes to go all the way around. And in the center is a light source, and in the bottom is water that came from the fish.
It sounds... you mentioned it's a closed-loop system, and it sounds pretty technical to me. There had to be some stops and starts involved in this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, there's a lot of heartaches in starting up a business, and, when you have fish, and you make a mistake and you kill some fish, you feel really bad. But, we're very... My wife and I are very determined individuals, so we set out to do this, and we just kept on. Every time something knocked us through, we just got up and kept going. We were really lucky to have our middle son, Brian, who is graduated from the U of M 2 years ago as a biologist, and he has been just a very key individual here in doing this. He understands the three life forms that we have here with the plants, the fish, and the bacteria, and he understands all that and makes it work. So there's a lot of technical stuff that he's much better at than me trying to go back to 30 years ago for chemistry I had.
I was amazed at how much you produce. Maybe you can give folks a little idea of the scope of what's happening there. How much is growing at one time, and how much you produce a day?
Okay. Well, to be sustainable agriculture, it has to be financially sustainable. And the way to do that is to use as least amount. amount of square footage as you can, and also to use the least amount of light. So where we have light, it's surrounded by plants, and so and they're very close to it because you lose a lot of energy the further you get away from a light. But for instance, the what we call the lettuce factory, if you could kind of visualize two like semi tractors, head to toe type of thing, so about 120 feet long. And about 10 feet wide, so that would be about what a semi would look like. And what we do is we put young plants, we put boards on one end of this, and then it goes down the assembly line. And 120 feet later, which happens to be 35 days later, we take boards off the end of the assembly line, and they are mature lettuce on there. In that 10-foot wide setup, we are taking about 1,000 heads of lettuce off the assembly line every day of the week. So 5,000 heads of lettuce, and and that's in a very small amount of space. So now, if you start putting this into warehouses in cities that have to import everything in, now you've got something that's sustainable it really works. Our orbiting gardens are no slouch either. What we do is just we harvest one cylinder a day, and that does about 50 pounds of basil. And basil, sells by the ounce. Next time you go in the grocery store and you see it, it's $3-4 an ounce type of thing. So we don't get that for it, but that's what the grocery stores get for it.
That's amazing. 50 pounds of basil a day is a lot of basil.
Yeah, and we are just working 5 days a week, so we're lazy farmers. Most farmers I know work like dogs all week long. So, the other thing that's important to know, I mentioned before the partnership here with the fish, and probably a lot of your listeners they might be fishing right now. As a matter of fact, too, but up north they try to. Fishing, try to grow fish in some of the closed mines and things like that a few years ago, which I thought was a wonderful idea. But there was some pollution problems from the fish and such, and that's one of the issues people have with farm-raised fish. The fish, when they're there, they're putting out ammonia and they're putting out a lot of phosphate. If that comes out of a pond area and gets in the streams into your lakes, then you get algae blooms and all sorts of other stuff. So that's a problem. And also pond-raised fish often aren't real active, so they aren't real healthy. And so oftentimes they have to be helped along with some antibiotics in their food. Of course, you eat that then. So people have been a little worried about farm-raised fish. But indoor-raised fish is totally different. It's instead of polluting the environment, you actually use that pollution to turn around and feed the plants, because the ammonia gets converted to nitrogen, and the phosphorus gets eaten up by the plants. They crave it as well, so they clean the water, and so it's a great solution. And the fish are healthy because we inject a lot of air into the tanks, and we don't have to add antibiotics. So it's a great solution to grow food, right at everybody's doorstep.
I suppose you can set up a little race course for the fish to give them a little exercise.
Yeah, we do. We actually, whether you're using rectangular tanks or round tanks, this facility we have round tanks, and we put a spin on the tank. We have a little Venturi valve in there on the pump, injecting air and putting a spin. So they're on a treadmill all day. So they don't complain, but they're much healthier for it. I think it's a little better meat for that as well.
We're speaking with Dave Roser, and Dave, along with his wife DJ, have developed Garden Tech Farms, where they operate actually out of a warehouse down in Maplewood. No soil, no weeding, no pesticides. No weeding sounds pretty darn good, Dave. You don't even get your hands dirty, do you?
Oh well, we We do put them in a media, which is kind of a peat product, and they have to have some for the roots to anchor in the beginning. And so, but what is nice about this is we designed it to be ergonomically correct, but because I'm like you, I don't like to bend over and be pulling weeds out of my ankles. So what we do is these round orbiting gardens that we have, the cylinders, they actually they're comprised of four panels. So we take the panels off, put them on a cart, and wheel them over to a harvest station. And so it's kind of like in the old days when you see a switchboard operator with a bunch of plugs, you know, in front of them, a plug board. It's kind of like that, a bunch of holes in the board, and they're pulling out the plants. They clean down the board, and then they put the brand new plants in the board, and then you put that section back on the machine again.
Now, it didn't sound to me as I read the article that you have much trouble with marketing. You've got sales for your product as it comes off?
Yes, you know, we were wondering how we were going to do this at first, and we put up, out there for a CSA, which is a community-supported agriculture, and that's been around for a lot of years, helping, it allows people to really help their local farmers out. They you buy a subscription or a share, and then it's usually for a 20-week growing period, and you come and you pick up a box of food every week, and you know it can be depending on what's growing at that farm. Here it's always the same growing. You know, we vary it. It might be different sprouts or different herbs or something, or bib lettuce versus leaf lettuce. But it's pretty much a staple, and people can start. They don't have to start like June 1st. They can start any time they want for a period. You know, for the 20-week period, because we grow all year round. And also the restaurants, once they've caught on to that we are fresh and natural and healthy and local, they've been very excited and in buying what we're producing.
Dave, in just a minute or two that we have left, I know that your thoughts are going beyond the gardens that you have now and into marketing your techniques. Can you tell us briefly a little bit about your orbiting gardens idea?
Well, we have a few. Right now we've been talking with people in different cities, some of the large cities, northern climates, but now, actually, we're speaking to a group from Haiti that's interested in our products as well. And I was wondering why, with all the sun and the heat, why you'd want to grow indoors. But they had some pretty compelling reasons. So, but we are looking at doing a couple things. We'd like to be able to put an orbiting garden inside a container, a shipping container, and basically kind of the food in a box concept. Have it so that it could be deployed. Maybe with our troops in the desert, or maybe near some place where a catastrophe has happened, and be able to grow food right there where people are in maybe refugee camps or whatever they are, or for our troops, and using the what would be wastewater and being able to convert that over to fertilizer to do the plants, and so. It doesn't taste any different. It's ammonia, and that's being created, and the bacteria converted into nitrogen. So,
well, it's an amazing idea, and what a second or third career you got going, Dave, along with your wife, DJ. I want to thank you so much for joining us. One more time, though, we should give folks the website that they can look at to learn more.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, it's Garden Fresh Farms, and it's www.gardenfreshfarms.com. And you can get on our main page. You can see we have a tour set up for a little later this month, another one in June if people are in the Twin Cities and would like to sign up and take a tour. We're very transparent. You get to see everything that goes into making your food. And if somebody's interested in, putting one of these in a warehouse to feed people up north all winter long and grow greens, even in the dead of winter, we'd be glad to work with you and try to set something up there.
That sounds great. I've been speaking with Dave Roser, and Dave, along with his wife, DJ, have Garden Fresh Farms in a converted Maplewood warehouse down in the Twin Cities, coming up with fresh basil, lettuce, and sprouts, and not to forget the tilapia and rainbow trout that are produced at the same time. Dave, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and best of luck with what you're doing in the future.